Hello, everybody. Just a very quick one about Instagram. If you're on it, Meta, the parent company, is reducing the number of political posts visible to users on their feed. This is a real thing, not a hoax. So go to your Instagram profile, tap the three horizontal lines in the top right corner to open the settings tab, scroll down to what you see, click on content preferences, open political content, and turn on don't limit political content. That's an option. Otherwise, you won't see almost anything we post because we are deemed political. Please do that now, or you won't even see the posts about our shows, our fun things. So if you want to see Guilty Feminist content and know when we're coming to a place near you or releasing a new podcast, do it now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
I am a feminist, but I once said to my husband, if the good body genie came out of a lamp, what three wishes would you ask for to change my body? All right. It's meant to be a confession of an hypocrisy. There's no need to be so judgy. Some of you are still judging. It was a long time ago. Some of you are still fucking judging. Jesus.
I think we just want to know what he answered. I'm a feminist, but I recently bought a dress that turned out to have way more layers and was way longer than I had thought when I saw it online. And the fabric looked quite oldish. So when I put it on, I felt like I was like a housewife in the 30s. So I've spent every hour since at home pretending that I was a housewife in the 30s.
And that you don't judge. I'm a feminist, but when I once asked my husband what he'd asked the good body genie to change about my body, and he said, "Nothing, darling, I think you're perfect just the way you are," I said, "Are you fucking crazy? Are you going to waste this golden opportunity for me to have the body I've always wanted?" And made him memorise my very specific instructions in case such a genie appeared when I was out. And it could happen. I don't want him to just go, "Oh no, she's perfect." Fuck off. Can you imagine how angry you'd be? You know?
feminist, but yesterday, whilst wearing the dress, you know, my husband had died in the war. Just some war, it's not time specific. And I was really alone and helpless, and I let soldiers passing the village, it's now a village, you know, they would get to sleep on my floor in exchange for fixing my MacBook. It's not time relevant. And you know, some of them would get to join me in bed, you know, and you know, the whole town would slut shame me, which in theory they wouldn't have to, since it's my imagination. So I'm a feminist, but I slut shamed myself in my imagination for sex I didn't have.
And you dare to judge the good body genie? The most practical of all the genies in my mind.
I did my laundry today and I didn't wash the dress because I wanted to wear it.
Is that the dress?
No, oh, no, I would never wear.
You? Oh, it's a private dress.
No, I would never wear it out.
It looks like I'm dressing up as a 30s housewife. Mm. That's why it's so good.
Sure. I'm a feminist, but I recently went to see Romeo and Juliet in the West End, starring some handsome hunky guy from Game of Thrones. And when I got there and the understudy came out, my first thought was, he's okay, but I wouldn't kill myself over him. Genuinely, did you think that? And that play does rely quite heavily on that idea, because they meet and it's like 3 days later, she's prepared to kill herself. And I'm questioning,
Maybe he's so awful. You'd kill yourself on the first day. You'd be like, oh, this guy.
That's not the story.
I mean, I'm paraphrasing. I'm a feminist, but today, whilst I was doing laundry, you know, for the soldiers, one of them found Deborah's suffragette jewellery, and he was like, are you a suffragette? And he looked like Chris Hemsworth, and I was like, no, no, Deborah, she's this homeless suffragette that I let eat when the soldiers aren't here.
What?
And he was like, oh, that's good, and I promise to never let you eat again, and then we had sex on the laundry.
Wow. But it's 1930s.
You were kind of my friend, but you were...
We had the vote by then. There was no suffragette in the
30s. No, this is not... I had a MacBook in the latest one. There's no...
This is just...
It's Chris Hemsworth.
Fair enough. I don't know why I'm questioning the anachronism. It's not the worst thing about this by a long way. Live from King's Place in London, the Spontaneity Shop presents The Guilty Feminist with Sophie Hagen and Deborah Francis White. And tonight's special guest, Ellie Taylor, talking about digital photography. This is The Guilty Feminist, the podcast in which we explore our noble goals as 21st century feminists and the hypocrisies and insecurities which undermine them.
Yay!
Yay! Hello, and welcome to The Guilty Feminist. Thanks for coming out. There's a nice chap in the front row there. Hello, welcome.
Hi.
Hello. I was worried men feel outnumbered in this room. Do you feel that way?
Not really.
But you are, though, aren't you?
I work with mostly women, so it's...
Oh, do you? What's your name?
My name's Doug.
Doug, lovely. And you work with mostly women, what do you do?
I work for the Tate Gallery.
You work for the Tate Gallery?
Yeah.
Are you single? That's a sexy job.
I had the exact same question, but that's because I thought you said something about takeout.
Tate Gallery, the one with the big spider. Are you working for the Tate Modern or the Tate Britain?
Both.
Oh, you work for both? Oh, that's exciting. What do you do for them, Doug?
I run their online shop.
You run their online shop.
See, I was close with takeout.
So it's not...
You were.
So does the Tate have, like, sandwiches and chips and stuff?
Tate Catering. I'm not with them.
Who's in from Tate Modern Catering?
Who's in from the Tate Cake Shop?
Anyone want to switch seats with the Doug?
No. So, Doug, if we wanted a sort of particularly lovely Damien Hirst tea towel, we should come to you.
Yes.
that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Can you get me anything under the counter? That's the kind of merch I'd be interested in. No, that wasn't a sexual offer. That was just a... Can Doug get me something under the counter?
You sound so posh. So that just sounds like really posh, like flirting. Do you want to slip me a Tate Modern fridge magnet under the counter?
It's not a posh... I'm not really posh, Sophie. I'm from Australia. I'm essentially... Have you seen Muriel's Wedding? Yeah, that's where I'm from. I am Muriel from Muriel's Wedding, except I've spent longer reinventing myself. Basically, I'm three sequels on, and I've got a way, but it comes and goes. You know, you'll hear it every now and again. You're terrible, Muriel. Do you kind of like that, Doug? A bit? Oh, good, good, good. Are you Doug's girlfriend?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm so sorry. I'm not meaning... There's just something about the way you were looking at that dynamic, and I went, no, this is not appropriate, and I'm so sorry. And you seem lovely too. Have you brought your boyfriend to this podcast, or has he brought you? Because I don't want to make assumptions, because I had someone come up once and say, my boyfriend brought me, make no assumptions.
We've both come because we both like it.
Oh,
equality.
What a feminist relationship.
Equality.
We both came because we equally wanted to. Nobody made anybody do anything. Look at us being egalitarian and free, wheeling with our decisions. That's a lovely... What a 21st century millennial relationship that is.
I remember being equal.
No, I'm genuinely rejoicing in it. That's not mocking. That's not mocking at all. I'm like, wow, like, you know. I'm loving it. It's what I am. I'm loving it. You look like millennials. Are you millennials?
I kind of don't know what that means.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Then you're a millennial. They don't like to be defined. A millennial does not enjoy any kind of labelling. You're a millennial. You're very similar.
I don't know.
We should probably do some of the show.
I think we should.
Okay.
Digital photography. What was your challenge?
So, okay, here's the thing.
Can we just start by saying Deborah wasn't happy with my choice?
Yes, Sophie has not done a challenge.
I have done
She's done an indulgence. And usually what happens is my challenge is something like eat three pieces of cake in public and not feel bad about it and ask for extra whipped cream. And Sophie's challenge is lie in a burlap sack crying myself to sleep until I can face my own inadequacies or something like that. But it's always like for a week. And I'm just like, why do you do them for a week? Like, just go and do a thing that takes like an hour and see how you feel and do one thing. She always does things for a week. So this week, she's basically taking the fucking week off is what she's done. When you hear her challenge, she has not done a challenge. When you hear her challenge, you'll be shocked. And rightly you should be. And you should judge it. Doug, you should judge it. My challenge for digital photography, I went to the Dirty Dancing Secret Cinema immersion experience. Did anyone else do that? Oh, come on, the guilty feminist, you've all done it. Come on. Did anyone else do it?
Yeah.
You don't need to sound ashamed. I'm a feminist, but I went to the Dirty Dancing Secret Cinema immersion experience. And I thought to myself, I wonder if, because you've got to dress up like you're in Dirty Dancing, so I thought, I wonder if I can get away with that look. You know when she has like a denim cutoff, so a little like denim skirt, with that little like a white shirt and you tie it so you can see a bit of your midriff. So I tried it on and I asked Tom, if he would photograph me, because I thought I'd better... A mirror doesn't tell you the whole story. And it's a long night. So I got him to photograph me. And you will be unsurprised to know I could not get away with that look. So I immediately deleted the photo, which is what I do with photos I don't like. And then I thought, you know, I'm going to look again. I think it wasn't that bad. And so I went into deleted photos. That is a terrible land. I don't know how many of you have ever gone into your deleted photos. Oh, Jesus wept. It is a bad place. It is a bad, bad place from which there is no return for at least half an hour. You just go, oh my God, this is who I really am. This is what I really look like. But what I found most interesting about it was that there were bad versions of photos I knew well. Like photos I loved. So my niece has been over from New Zealand and we took her around to London tourist attractions. And it was a photo of us standing on a bridge and I was in a tartan jacket. And I look kind of cool and my hair's a bit messy and stuff. But it's a nice photo. And I've seen it loads because it's on Facebook. Everyone's liked it and commented on it. So you keep coming back to it. So I've seen that photo like 100 times. And suddenly I come across the deleted twin sister that clearly didn't make it. And it's like a mad woman in an attic situation. It's like some other half of you that you just go, oh my God, because that's another truth about what happened on that bridge. The one on Facebook is a sort of truth. I mean, it's got a chrome filter, so let's be clear, I look more successful in it. But I just don't look all kind of like angled and sort of the right bit of wind blowing through my hair and sort of standing in the right way so you can't see my stomach, whatever. I look like this. You won't be able to see this at home, but I'm going to do it anyway. I look like an aged squirrel that needs to be put out of its misery. Like a very sad, lonely, old, homeless squirrel in a tartan jacket on a bridge with her arm around her incredibly beautiful teenage niece. Do you know what I did for my challenge? I got that photo and I thought, this is another truth and this is who I am as well. And I put it on Facebook. And I made it my profile picture. That is where it is now. I haven't dared to look to see what people have said. Because normally if I change my profile picture, I get a lot of likes. A lot of likes. So I don't know what it's got. So I'm just going to have a little look while we're all here. It's a bit scary. I wonder if anyone's going to go, oh, weird. That's a weird picture to put up. And they're not going to say it to me, are they? Please tell me they're not. Oh, God, someone's commented. Jade's mother has commented... my sister in New Zealand, and she's left a heart. Aww. Sophie Hagen has just answered.
No, like yesterday, didn't I?
No, you were commenting now. I saw the little dots coming up. I was like, who's commenting right now? Sophie, she has said hot. But Jade's mother put a heart, because of course what she sees is two people she loves having a lovely time on a bridge.
And you don't look bad.
Oh, come on.
I mean, I really want to say fuck you. Yeah, I haven't zoomed in here.
Oh, what? Show people in the front. Doug, get here now. Doug, I need you.
This is not
okay, Doug.
It is flurry, but other than that, it's a good shot.
Yeah, that's another thing. Well, if you think that's me looking good, Doug, I hate you so much. If that's a fine representation of me, then I don't look like I think I look. Why? Why are you doing this? What are you doing now? Why?
I'm taking actually bad photos. Oh.
This is just... Oh, okay, that delete that fucking now. And then delete the delete album. Oh, I don't
think you passed your challenge. I don't think your challenge should be to accept that you're just ugly in photos. Your challenge should be to realise that you're not ever ugly.
Now, you think I've done something lovely there by hugging her, but I know how much she hates hugging. So, no, I'm fine with it. It's just that we curate ourselves and we know we have a look that we do and we have an angle, and when it's not that, when it's just... it's not how we see ourselves.
You know what you look like? You look like you were having fun and you may be like making a face, but like in a fun way, like you were trying to make your niece laugh. That's what it looked like.
Really?
Yeah, it looked like you were just going like... Oh.
Like I was
being silly.
Like I was doing an impression of an elderly homeless squirrel. That was to make her laugh.
You look like you and your niece were having a good time and you were kind of just
laughing. You, I thought you said you on your knees. And I was like, you've seen a different picture of you and your niece. So I thought, that's a whole other deleted album. Digital photography. Woo! Yes, absolutely. There's a big cheer for digital photography. Come on, make it a bigger cheer. It's a better friend to you than that. There's a digital photography. Woo! Because you love it more than you love almost anything else. Let us be clear. I saw a news story last year. Did anyone else see this? There was a Korean restaurant in China, and when you went into the restaurant, they took your photo. And then a computer took this photo and decided how good looking you were. And if it decided you were very good looking, then your food was free. Yes. And there was a sign out the front that said free food for good looking.
This is true. And people got all up in arms about it, and they were really outraged, saying, how can you do this? How can you say that beautiful people get special treatment? And this is absolutely outrageous. And the town actually made them take the sign down, and they said, we will take the sign down, but we will not stop giving beautiful people free food. You cannot stop us giving things away for free. If we have decided that people are beautiful, then they get free food. It was a whole big thing. And people were very up in arms. A lot of feminists were up in arms, and they were saying, you know, this is a terrible thing, and it's very superficial. But I actually thought, do you know what? I don't mind that, because it puts a value on beauty. And that value is some chicken chow mein and a side of fried rice. And I think that's right. That's about right. I mean, it should be worth something. It's a quality people like. But it shouldn't be worth, like, a $20 million movie contract, because you haven't done anything to deserve it. It should be worth about 15 quid, including tip. I think if we put a very low but concrete value on beauty, it would change the world. Like, it's just teenage girls starving themselves and waxing themselves and bleaching themselves and plucking themselves and eyelining themselves and doing all these things in the pursuit of beauty. If you said to them, yeah, okay, you can do that, starve yourself for a few years and bleach yourself and wax yourself, do all these really, really painful things, okay, what am I going to get? 2-for-1 at Domino's. No, fuck that. Fuck that, frankly. And the other reason I don't want that restaurant, free food, good-looking camera to go is because I really would like to try it. Not because I think I'm beautiful, but because I genuinely believe I could fool the camera into thinking I was. Because my selfie management skills are fucking brilliant. I don't want to intimidate you, but I can angle myself in a camera to look like Vivian Leigh with the right post-production team. And I think we all can. I think we have a really weird relationship now with our cameras. As soon as the camera flipped around, as soon as we could see ourselves as we took that photo, the whole thing changed at that point. Because then we and our camera became like duplicitous lovers. Lovers that told each other, yeah, you're the hottest person I've ever slept with. I'm definitely going to call you. Neither of us meaning it. Your camera is someone you're hooking up with where you're still bothering to hold your stomach in when you're taking your top off. You know that period of a relationship? Yeah, that period of a relationship where you're still doing angle management. And you're basically saying to your camera, sort of like, yeah, no, this is really good, this is really good, I'm liking it, it's good for me. Could you just go a bit higher, just go a bit higher. So you just so I'm just, see up there, I'm all cheekbone, I'm not, double chin, what are you talking about? I'm all cheekbone. I don't even have one chin, that's just two. Over there, you're so high, see. That is basically what happened. And if it had only happened to one of us, if one person had developed a face front camera and spent their whole time taking pictures of themselves, all of their friends would have staged an intervention. But because it's happened to all of us at the same time, nobody's been able to notice, because we've all been going... I mean, think about it. When was the last time somebody said, oh, come on, let me take a picture of you guys that I'm not in? (laughs) 2005. Thank you very much. What was your challenge, Sophie?
My very real emotional challenge.
Oh my god.
Was to go to the movies and watch Ghostbusters. It was very hard, and I feel like it's a real struggle.
What has this got to do with digital photography? Just explain to me.
Moving digital photography very, very quickly equals movie. Feminism, it's the female cast. Mm. It's a lot of trolls are like, oh, bad.
It ruined my childhood.
Yes, and I thought, yeah, I will contribute to those childhoods being ruined financially. But actually, I wouldn't have seen it because I don't care about ghosts. It has nothing to do with them being women. I haven't seen
She's not afraid of no ghosts, just to be very clear.
I ain't afraid of no ghosts, is what I'm saying. I wouldn't even know who to call. And edit that. And so I went, and just on like an afternoon, I had 2 hours before I was getting picked up, and I went to see it, and you know, I was just waiting, and then 6 young teenage boys walked in, and I was like, oh no. Oh, they're going to be loud and annoying, and oh, they're going to ruin the movie. And then like 3 men came in, and I was like, oh, he's going to be a men's rights activist, or he's going to think this is silly, or they're going to be really negative. And this is, I just can't bear to be in this positive space and then have someone be negative about something that I will probably love. So I was really, I felt really insecure and a bit afraid.
Why did you assume that? Was he wearing like a not all men t-shirt or something?
Yeah. It is a prejudice. It's just, you know, like a group of teenage boys, like really laddie, and I just thought, oh, no, like there's no way.
You thought they were going
to
heckle.
Yeah, I don't know, just be negative about it. I didn't know what to expect. I just felt a bit unsafe. And then the movie started, and the first, I don't know which one of them, made a joke, and they just collapsed in laughter, the whole row. And the whole way through the film, they were laughing and screaming with laughter, and they had like such a great time. Which meant that I was crying the whole way through the film.
You were moved by these teenage boys loving watching
joke on
Batwoman.
Screen, guys laugh, me cry. The whole film through, I was like, oh, that's a funny joke. Oh God, they're laughing. And like the three men were howling with laughter. And there's a scene where one of them does something really cool. I'm not going to spoil anything, but. Okay, spoiler alert, she kills a ghost. Oh my God. And she does it in a really cool way. And I was just crying at the idea that these boys were going to see that, because I never saw that. And I didn't even know that that was something I needed to see, or something I had wanted to see, or something that I had even known that I hadn't seen. But it was so emotional, and I felt like such an idiot.
No, I like this side of you, Sophie. I'm normally the feeling one. Literally, on the way to a festival recently, I was trying to do a nice thing for somebody, and I was sort of going out of my way to sort of, you know, and I was emailing them, and she was going, why are you doing that? And I said, oh, I just feel. And she went, stop feeling things. And that became the sort of hashtag for the weekend, was stop feeling things. So I am very moved that you were moved. But for those teenage boys, that would be nothing to go and see. It was just a movie. They just wanted to go and see a comedy. The fact that it had three kick-ass women in it was not... I haven't seen it yet. Whenever I see those men on Twitter going, this female Ghostbusters is ruining my childhood, I always think, I wasn't allowed to watch Ghostbusters because I was a Jehovah's Witness, so really that ruined my childhood. And more than this remake is probably capable of doing.
I want you to troll trolls with that. It ruins your childhood, ruins my childhood.
Yeah. Childhood ruiner. I am kind of excited that this new generation coming up, that will just be their childhood. They'll go to the movies and it's just nothing to see four women on the screen as the leads. And to see the guy in the role of the assistant, of the PA.
Oh, yeah.
Is this going to be, I'm a feminist, but I objectified the, what's his name? Chris Hemsworth. I objectified Chris Hemsworth all throughout Ghostbusters.
Well, now I have to write a new one.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Our next guest is a wonderful stand-up comedian and presenter and does all sorts of wonderful things. Please put your hands together for Ellie Taylor. So, Ellie, do you have an I'm a feminist but?
Yes, I do, actually. I'm a feminist but when it was the mayoral elections in London, I voted for Sadiq Khan, and then the second choice I did was for the Women's Equality Party. And on the way home, I picked up my husband's dry cleaning. Dear, oh dear.
Someone's got to pick it up.
I know, but he does work hard, and what do I do all day? So, you know.
Thank you for coming to the Girls Feminist! We're going to talk about digital photography tonight. Now, how often... Because you used to be a model, didn't you?
I did, yeah. About 10 years ago.
About 10 years ago.
I retired, yes.
So, you've not retired. You've become more things.
Oh, yeah. I like that. Yeah, we'll say that. Yeah, that one. Not that I just stopped getting hired by amazing places like Georgia Asda. I was very lowbrow. I was really, really was, yeah.
Georgia Asda is going to come, like, banging on your door within 12 months, begging you to return, I would imagine.
Well, not if Matalan get there first. I don't know.
But 10 years ago is long enough ago, I think, that we weren't all doing Instagram and...
No, not at all.
Facebook didn't... I don't think Facebook had photos 10 years ago. What year was that? 2006? They might have just...
I think I joined Facebook in 2006.
Yeah, I think around that time. But it was more like fish tanks and drawings on the wall and things. You're looking at me like you don't remember this era.
Yeah, fish
drawing
tanks.
On, yeah,
what?
Don't you remember
on
that?
Facebook.
So you'd have a little fish tank on your fun wall, and then people could put fish in it.
A fun wall?
Don't you remember the fun wall? I was not in it. Thank you. Thank you. There was definitely a fun wall, and people could doodle on each other's walls and things. It was a very different game, Facebook, back then. But photos didn't come in for a while, and it certainly wasn't a place where you shared photos of the party while you were still at the party.
What about MySpace?
MySpace literally did nothing ever for anyone. It had no function ever, and that was the problem with it. It was just you collected friends, and then they'd forgotten to put in a function for what those friends could do. But it was 10 years ago. So when you were modelling, presumably the photos that you saw that the photographer took were the photos you saw of yourself, other than those ones that we just took.
Yeah, so I suppose so, yeah. So, I mean, everyone had digital cameras in those days. No one had cameras on their phones.
But there was nothing to do with them, was there?
Not really.
It was really awkward because you'd go, oh, brilliant, I took all these great photos the other night. Good. Where are they? In the back of my camera.
Yeah.
Can you get them out? Not really.
No, they just live there. That's where they live. Yeah,
so to show someone the photos from the party, you'd have to go... and they were just terrible little photos. And before we'd worked out how to share them... It was rubbish era. It was a good era when we printed them out.
Yeah.
And went to the chemist and you had to wait for them. That was a bit of an interesting.
I used to work at the Boots photo counter, so I've been all involved in the photo process, guys.
Really? You've been on both sides of the counter.
I really have,
you get to see them? Everyone's
You have to check them for quality
what
control.
What was the weirdest thing you'd seen?
We saw some rude ones that were too rude to give back to people. That was always really exciting.
What? What?
I think that was... I can't
so rude you had to keep them.
So
I don't remember that being a snappy snap slogan. So you were on that side of it where you actually developed film.
Yeah.
And... thank you, you sound Victorian. So you used to stand with your head under a cloth. Yes. People would sit very still for 4 hours.
Absolutely.
And then you were a model, and now you presumably participate because you're a comedian in this constant photographing of yourself at good angles.
Yes.
Have you, as a woman, have you noticed any difference in how you feel about yourself or how you think women are perceived?
I think it just adds a whole lot of pressure to women. I was thinking about this earlier. So I was thinking when I went on a little girl's holiday last year and we went to a pool for a day, and me and my friends decided we were going to do a no photo policy because everyone just didn't want to have the pressure, I think, of, you know, breathing in a bikini. But isn't that weird that you have to do it to sort of really relax? We had to sort of put that out there specifically.
That's a lot of pressure on women that going on holidays together, that you don't just want those sort of fun smiley photos and it doesn't really matter how you look. Can't we just enjoy those photos where we look like a squirrel on a bridge and not judge ourselves and not be looking at ourselves that we have to look like a model in every shot?
Yes, I mean, the answer is yes, we can. Like, it takes a while to go through the process of learning to truly believe that you are beautiful no matter what and in every single angle and all of those things. I don't think we should just accept it. I think we should work towards that. And I know it's difficult, but maybe digital photography or maybe selfies and the fact that we have cameras everywhere could actually help that, because we're able to go, right, this is how I look, and we can basically just know that all the time.
Yes. I'm still thinking about deleting that photo, though. Actually, probably to change myself and my view, I should probably leave it up. And I should probably just leave it there as a matter of record.
But it's not about where it is. It's about what's going on in your head when you look at it.
Yeah, but don't you build up a resistance by doing things like that?
But that depends if you're going to depend on people's comments and people's reactions. You said you wanted to check how many likes you had in the comments. But it doesn't...
Well, I was just interested. That's my main sort of validation. But it was just like, I just thought, oh, it'll be interesting to see.
You know how babies are all beautiful? But there are, like, every, like, 1,000th baby you see, you're like, whoa.
Yes.
Right? I think it's like that with people. Most people are beautiful and gorgeous, and there's so few people. I don't think I would look at a single person in this audience and think they weren't beautiful.
Well, let's line up and find out.
What I find interesting is that I think, like, on Instagram, Instagram's my favourite of all the social media. Because I think I'm quite a visual person. I really like images. I like looking at that kind of thing. But what I find sort of depressing is that the things that I put up on my Instagram feed, the most likes will always be a really self-indulgent selfie of me looking really nice with, you know, and the angles are perfect and my hair looks great and my eyebrows are on fleck. Like, all of that gets the most likes. But sometimes what, because I feel if I have been too self-indulgent with really pretty selfies of myself, I will deliberately put an sort of an ugly one in inverted commas if you like, you know, the next day to like counteract it.
I do the same thing.
But do you think that's quite weird, isn't it? That we have, you feel like you need to sort of undercut yourself in a way.
For me, it's not undercutting myself. For me, it's all the people watching. You know, I've started putting pictures up where I show my stomach, which was like 6 months ago. I would never have dreamt of doing that. But that's in order for, people always talk about how this reality is being a bit broken down because we choose the angles ourselves.
Sure.
So I, when I put up photos of me looking like I'm not supposed to, by society, whatever, it's to show people looking that this isn't how the real world looks.
Yeah.
Like, this is okay.
I never do that. I never put up bad photos.
Do you
myself.
Never?
No. I see people doing it and I admire them for it. And I will continue to do that.
I put one up of me and I'd slept with wet hair. So my hair was like, I was like Bon Jovi from the 80s. And I put it up and I thought it was hilarious. And someone wrote, "You're so brave."
Can I tell you a statistic about that? Because I did a bit of research.
Go for it.
Stanford computer scientist Dr. Andre Kapathy surveyed a huge range of photos examining the number of likes each selfie got. He then divided that number by the number of followers, blah, blah, blah. He then developed a computer program that determined a few of the primary characteristics found in most the most successful selfies. If you're a woman, your most liked selfies will likely obey the rule of thirds. The face only takes up a third of the image. Feature your face at the centre or the top, showcase long hair, use a filter and have a border. If you're a man, there's no point posting a selfie. Kapathy's network found not a single man among the top 100 selfies of their study. It's basically men's selfies are not liked. But here's an interesting one. Here's the kicker. Men tend to search more for online tips on how to achieve the perfect selfie. So, yes, men are sitting around. People are shocked by this, aren't they? They're shocked by this. Men are sitting around. Doug is sitting around all day going, oh, what's the perfect selfie? How do I take it? Go again. And nobody's ever going to care. Because the only selfies they like are female selfies. Isn't that interesting?
That makes sense, doesn't it? I get more likes on the photos that are filtered and from an up angle and... than I do when I know that I'm putting up a photo where I don't look objectively how you're meant to look, which annoys me so much.
Yeah, I, again, haven't really put up any of those, but I just don't know. I always see it when people do it, and I go, you know, when people kind of put up photos of themselves going, and I go,
Why? Why is it?
Well, I know, I love seeing photos of other people like that. No, I do. I find it funny in the music, and I think they look great. I think they look cute. I think they look funny. I don't judge them for looking like that, but I just don't have that kind of bravery, I think, around, oh, you're so brave. I am a hero, I know. I don't know what it is. I suppose I should do a series as an extra challenge. This is a challenge on a challenge.
Oh, my gosh, absolutely.
Not now, obviously. Oh, God.
What's your least favourite angle?
See, already I'm going to do this myself because I don't trust you. Can I ask you a question? People born after 1980 will take an estimated how many selfies in their lifetime, do you reckon?
A lifetime?
Mm. Oh, God.
We don't know that yet, hopefully.
An estimated. This is not if you die young.
20,000?
Oh,
I mean, is that the one published?
Yeah,
or is
you,
including
you are,
all the...
You are incredibly on the money. 25,000. Estimated 25,000. That's incredible. And I think that sounds quite low, given how much people photograph themselves now. But actually, do you think doing that 25,000 times, it is actually high, isn't it?
Like, I always think I don't take that many selfies to get the one picture that I like. And do you ever do it where you click back into your gallery and the whole page is just the same shot, but just slight variations? Oh, it's so... Yeah. It's horrific. And you just... I didn't realise quite how vain I got in that moment.
I know.
I've often put up that photo. I've taken a screenshot of the 20 different photos of my face, because that's kind of the same thing of going... Instead of saying, oh, look, here's my double chin, you go, here's me being vain. Look at how many photos there are. And now you get to see all of them because, you know,
Okay, I'm going to tell you some factoids. Mm-hmm. 47% of people think it's okay to take a selfie during childbirth.
47%?
Mm.
I just thought, oh, then I thought, oh, I'd probably do that.
Would you?
Not during that bit, but in the early throes, probably.
A selfie?
Yeah. Like, labour lasts bloody ages, doesn't it?
You should ask the doctor to take a photo so you get the whole...
No cameras. Guess what percentage of people think it's okay to take a selfie during sex?
Oh, it should be
someone
zero.
Said zero. Yeah. Do I hear an advance on zero? It's not zero.
20.
30%.
You are correct. 30% of people think it's okay. I mean, I don't know if there's any restrictions, like if you're on top or...
I mean, you'd ask.
Oh, my God.
You'd ask. You'd ask first. Hey, is it okay if I just block your face with my phone?
Not.
Oh, no, I'm taking a selfie. That's why I'm blocking your face with my phone.
I think sex should have the same rules as Ellie's holidays. No digital
photography. And girls only.
We have some questions from the audience. There's a chap up the back. What's your name?
Sam.
Hello, Sam.
Kind of two things. Firstly, with the Instagram selfies thing, the thing I notice because I do it and then unfollow them and then follow them again because I'm shallow, is all the hot guys, really nice bodies, they all get loads and loads of likes. The gym bunnies with the abs and all the rest of it.
They weren't in the top 100,
no,
though, Sam. But I'm not saying they don't get any.
No, but I'm just saying, certainly in the gay community, that's kind of like a really big thing, which is a bit weird and not great. Because I don't have abs. But the actual question was, any of you on either your publicity or when you were a model, have you ever had anything that's been digitally altered?
Fuck yes.
And is that something that you've liked, or is that something that you kind of have wanted them not to do?
Oh, okay.
I haven't thought they've changed anything really, because I don't think... I mean, when they see me, they see a fat woman, and I don't think... I think people would notice if they made me skinny. But I did see a close-up on one of my press photos recently, and they removed... I have like a little birthmark, a teeny tiny birthmark, and they removed it, and that made me so sad and so angry. I wrote it down and said, from now on, whenever someone takes a photo, I'm going to tell them that they're not removing any what they would call mistakes.
I've had photos photoshopped, but recently I had a photographer who was doing, you know, she does a lot of sort of glossy magazine stuff, and she photoshopped it so that I looked like a very young American woman. And I went, no one's buying that, no one's believing that. Like, my teeth were so white. And I had no lines at all or anything like that. And I like a mild touch-up, I'll be honest with you, because it's going to be poster size. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like, people are going to walk up past your poster in Edinburgh, and my face is going to be bigger than my actual face. And so all of the pores and everything, they're going to be larger than they actually are.
Oh, they're going to think that pores are real.
But I just don't need them to be larger than normal. I don't like anything that makes me look not like me. I want to look like me.
Yeah.
But just... on a good day.
I've had stuff done, like face stuff done before, and it's been so wiped out, so there's no sort of no depth to your face. You just become sort of 1D in a way. So I didn't like that. Not One Direction. I mean, no. I suddenly turned into Harry Styles. But I think body-wise, I'm sure when I was modelling, they probably did bits and bobs. I'd like to think nowadays, if I had a full body one done, I wouldn't want them to do it. But then if they, you know, I can imagine it would be very tempting.
Kate Winslet complained.
I remember that.
She was photographed by FHM or somebody, and they made her legs look really, really long, and she just said, my legs are absolutely fine, like, I'm a movie star, like, if you're gonna do this to my legs, how's everyone else meant to feel? And she went on chat shows and basically said, that's the real picture and that's the Photoshop picture. Doesn't the real picture look brilliant? Mm-hmm. You're making a rod for your own back, yeah. Actually, making your photographs too good, because then you turn up and you're just a big disappointment.
Debbie, you're looking right at me as you say that.
You'd be a relief.
Like, yeah, I'm nice.
You know when you see when you follow someone on social media and then you meet them in real life, it sounds like I'm a stalker. That's because I am. And then you're like, oh, they're human. Oh, that's good. Because I thought they were this weirdly always black and white person. They have colour.
No, I do see women.
Have you ever had to unfollow somebody because of how they look on Instagram? I started following Rosie Huntington-Whiteley, who is a beautiful, beautiful British model, and I got so depressed by looking at all her amazing pictures of her looking fabulous in underwear. It was altering my mood when I saw the pictures, so I stopped following her.
I've heard of this phenomenon.
I do it with, she's a pop star, Selena
Gomez.
Yeah, so I don't know why, but I started following her on Snapchat. And it made me so depressed because she... This sounds so stupid, because she always had so much fun.
to your summits partying, and like her friends were like, wow, and I was like, oh god, that makes me feel like I should be partying more, and I don't want to go to parties. So I get it, but in another sense,
another context. Yeah, just generally that sort of I'm having a wonderful time in underwear. It's a lot of pressure, because actually, of course, those people aren't having a lot of wonderful times in underwear. They are just weeping into a pillow like everyone else.
Oh, can we... Okay, close your eyes. Go, if you've ever hated a photo of yourself. Hated, like really hated. Okay, go, if you've ever really, really hated, in the same degree as before, someone else's photo.
Wow, that's interesting. So we all hate pictures of ourselves, but we actually don't hate pictures of other people. That's so interesting, Soph.
But we also have to remember, none of them saw that horrible, horrible profile photo.
No one has yet seen the picture of me on a bridge with my name looking like a squirrel.
We'll Instagram it.
No, we're not going to Instagram it. There's limits. Oh, my God, are you Instagramming things without my permission?
She'll put a filter on it. It's fine. Oh.
Depending when this goes out, I may be on tour.
Yay!
My show is called Infidelity. My name's Ellie Infidelity. Always good when you have to explain a pun. And I'm on tour in the autumn and winter around the UK. So come along.
Is it in fact about you being unfaithful?
It's about being married and wishing I'd slept with more people.
Oh, I totally get that.
Do you? Do you know what I mean, though?
Sorry, Tom. Deborah, do you have anything else to plug? Apart from your, I don't know, willingness?
Apart from my desire to sleep with more people. In the past.
Yeah, I'm also going on to... at the same time, same venue as well. We're going to stand right next to each other. No, I have a new show called Shimmer Shatter. I'm going to be doing it in Edinburgh, and I'm going to take it on tour. It's going to Denmark in February, and hopefully other bits and bobs of Europe. If you're in Europe and you want me to do it there, please let me know so I can set up a show, hopefully. Maybe it's a show about not being able to function around people. And I'd like to plug this podcast that we're doing, because we would love for you to follow us on Instagram, where I will hopefully put up, yes, I will put up the photo of Deborah and other photos that I've taken of her while she sleeps. And follow us on Twitter at GuildFemPod, and give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. And
or however many stars you think it's worth.
Five.
Or five. How many stars do you think it's worth, Doug?
Five!
Yes! Well done, Doug. Thank you. But see how nice it is when Doug comes to shows and gives stars of his own volition. Hashtag feminism. Okay. You have been listening to The Guilty Feminist. Thank you, Deborah Francis White. That's our special guest, Ellie Taylor. Produced by Mark Hodge. Producer was Tom Slinsky from The Spontaneity Shop. Thanks to Zoe Metty and everyone at the Queen's Face, as well as all of you for listening. For more information about this and other episodes, visit guiltyfeminist.com. Oh, Doug, what was my stand-up worth, by the way, in terms of merchandise from the Tate?
Big framed print.
Oh, thank you very much.
Or canvas, whichever.
Or canvas, whichever I prefer. Nice work, Doug. I presume this comes with a follow-up offer of an actual print. Does it?
Sure.
Wow. I love that. Arty and corrupt.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.